The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, Ryan Tubridy with you this Tuesday morning. It's the 17th of December 2019 at 3 minutes past nine. We are very happy to be with you and we'll be here till 10 a.m. The text number is 51551. You can email Ryan at rte.ie. And you can write to us as you have been doing. Although you better stop writing soon enough because we have been inundated with our unpost competition. Got a tweet from Dorothy Malloy yesterday. She said, "I'm in Dunstore's car park. It's full of people sitting in cars listening to the Ryan Tubridy Show crying." I mean, crying, obviously, with the senses. What are we doing to, not just to you, to each other? A woman wrote in yesterday to us after the show. She said, "Dear Ryan, I've been listening to you for a long time. You sound so sad these days. Is everything okay?" And I wanted to say to her, your concern is thoughtful, but I couldn't be happier. But the letters make you sad. And it has, but it's been a very emotional, hasn't it? I mean, since Gay died and the toy show and then Christmas and all these letters, there's a lot of emotion in the air. But that doesn't mean it necessarily has to be devastatingly sad emotion. It's more reflective, thoughtful kind of thing. And that's what this time of the year does. I also think as I get older, you tend to engage more with that all of this in a way that I wouldn't have 10 years ago because I wouldn't have understood it until you live a bit more life. You then realise, God, it's tough. And you then completely understand people's stories in a way that you never would have done. I never would have done before. So that's quite helpful. And then it also encourages you, as it does for me anyway, to enjoy life a lot more and see the funnier side of things much more, and also to err on the side of crack than on the side of seriousness. So that's why I often see people not understanding something or getting the fun in things. I think, why so serious? And I say that largely because there is sadness in people's lives and people's worlds, but I've met some very people who had horrible things happen to them and they still remain pleasant and amusing and see the best side of things as much as humanly possible. But with that in mind, funny enough, I was having serious crack with friends over the weekend. It was very sociable weekend. And in the middle of it all, we were chatting about something. It was one quite serious moment we were chatting away, and one of my pals turned around and said, "Well, actually, whatever you say about that," he said, "I remember waking up one Boxing Day morning," and we all went, "You what?" "I woke up one Boxing..." "Did you just say Boxing Day?" "Yeah." "Were you born here?" "Yeah, well, we've known each other for 4 to 6 years, yeah." "And you just said Boxing Day among five Irish people?" "Yeah." "And you expect us not to stop everything and alight upon you and eviscerate you like vultures pecking at a bit of meat in the desert?" "No, I didn't think it was that bad." "Oh, no, it is. It is." Then I realised how bad. And then I was saying it to a couple of people in the following days. The poor man was looking at us going, "Lads, what did I say?" We said, "You said Boxing." It's probably one of the greatest crimes in Irish passing conversation to refer to Stephen's Day, St. Stephen's Day, or St. Stephen's Day, or where the hell does the comma and the apostrophe go day, as Boxing Day. It does. You can't do that. He sure, listen, he was reduced, a reduced man. But no, I never saw people just turn like a mob. We became Twitter for 10 minutes. It was so desperate. Anyway, it just reminded me of how protective we can be of these things. Actually, as I'm chatting away with you quietly, I remember I watched last night this great documentary that you might have that passed me by over the last week because I've been kind of running around doing stuff. But it was the funeral director on RT, and it's there to watch on the player or whatever, wherever you might find it. And it is it's an immaculately put together 45 minutes or an hour of a look at a man who I've actually met, as it happens, David McGowan out in Mayo, who's an undertaker. And I thought, I wonder what this is. So myself and my eldest sat down. I said, look at this for a few minutes now. We'll park the phones and see what's happening here. And up comes this man telling his story. And it was fascinating and how funeral homes only came into being in the last, obviously, 30, 40 years or thereabouts. And he got on that bus, as it were, went to America, was working in Chicago. And he found himself in morgues in Chicago. And he found himself thinking, look at all these bodies unclaimed. Whereas home in Ireland, where he was getting homesick, everyone not only claims the body, but wakes the body and respects the funeral, and people mind each other. And he sold funerals to me in a way that made them so joyful and joyous and celebratory, rather than, I know, of course, they're upsetting and they're sad, but the way he described it and explained it. Then I went into the full morgue experience then in Ireland, and the embalming and what goes in, and they use bodies, and we saw everything, and including the, what's the, where the cremation, all of that. And it was very reductive and very existentially peculiar to watch, because you went, that's it. You go in, you go out, we're done. I mean, it's, that's it. So it can only, watch this program, it can only make you want, it's kind of like, it's like a weird It's a Wonderful Life moment where you kind of watch the program and want to run down the main street, go, oh, what I want to live again, Mary. Merry Christmas, y'all, spar. Merry Christmas, y'all, pub. Because you think, God, why aren't we doing this? And have fun doing it and getting on with it. Anyway, it's a very, very good program. And there was a lovely strand in the program with this man called Dougie Hopkins, who was a pilot in a plane. And if you remember, David McGann became famous in Ireland for a time when he brought a plane up the Shannon. And the plane, this pilot was dying. He was dying as part of the documentary. And then he died. And you know, giving it away in the sense that that's the whole point. It's called The Undertaker. And he was being embalmed by David, who had been his friend. It was the weirdest thing, but yet it all made sense. And then you see him in the coffin in his pilot's uniform, looking handsome. And then he was going to be placed, his ashes were going to be helped to grow a tree. So instead of going to a headstone, you go and visit a tree, which became a great animated point of conversation with us at home then, going, wouldn't you like to be a tree rather than a headstone? Does that work? Anyway, it got me thinking. It was a lovely program. It comes with a high recommendation. A driver caused an explosion in his car when he lit a cigarette after spraying air freshener. How about that? Air freshener. He used excessive amounts of the aerosol scent before sparking up, and gas from the spray ignited, blew out the windscreen and windows and buckled the doors, but the man escaped with only minor injuries. Police said, could have been worse, and warned people to follow safety advice. The air freshener was so powerful it caused damage to windows at nearby, the explosion at nearby businesses, and they said that the cause of the dramatic incident was excessive air freshener use. Just so you know, Mr. McGowan is from Sligo, not Mayo. My mistake. Thank you for the correction. No more required. Record corrected. Thank you. And it was very interesting getting an insight into his pub and how the pubs in Ireland, as they did, evolved from pub to undertakers to funeral homes and so on. Thank you for that. That's a good one. Meanwhile, Christopher Reeve's original cape from the 1978 film Superman is now the most expensive superhero cape sold at auction. We're back to this auction we spoke about yesterday with Frank Sinatra. And the Frank Sinatra oil paintings went for $75,000 and $21,000 respectively. But the cape was bought for $193,000. How about that? I mean, that is quite amazing. But I suppose if you're from my generation and if you had 5 bazillion quid, you'd have that just for the crack, just somewhere in your house going, come here, I want to show you something. That's the cape from the movie. Wouldn't that be something? The Icons and Idols auction also featured props, blah, 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 including Patrick Stewart's Starfleet dress uniform from Star Trek The Next Generation, sold for $28,000. That's fun stuff to be buying for the crack. I want to mention some things that are going on, because I met some people related to the Jack and Jill Children's Foundation by chance. One, I was walking up the street and I met a man. I came off the Dart and he was around the Westmoreland Street area, and we had met once before briefly under difficult circumstances for him, and it didn't end well for him. And I said, how are you? And he said, I'm really bad. And I said, well, that's an honest answer. And I thought that as I was chatting to friends over the weekend as well. It's refreshing that people can answer questions like that without saying, I'm grand, thanks. Yeah, no, I'm great. That, you know, that fake thing that we do all the time. And I said, I understand that entirely. And in a way, as I said before, I didn't. But then within a few minutes, I bumped into the people behind Jack and Jill. As it happens, they were out and about. And they subsequently sent me a letter. In the letter, they explained that they have Irish-made Paul Costello-designed Jack and Jill candles available on their website for $22.50. if you're in a position to pay for them, all monies raised to help secure home nursing hours and facilities for families in every community across the country, which I think is really nice. So if you could do that, if you're in a position to, jackandjill.ie, a candle might be nice if you're giving a present. What a great Chris Kindle thing to buy, or for a relative you think, right, well, at least it's practical and the money will go to help families. It's very nice. And also, for what it's worth, if you get Lego you don't want, need or require, they have a Lego drive. So you drop unwanted Lego at a DPD depot near you. And again, you'll find information on jackandjill.ie. Just wanted to mention that. What else do I have? I see Linda Martin is having an annual fundraiser tonight at the Pro Cathedral. All proceeds going to Peter McVerry and Dogs Aid. And that's Celine Byrne, Red Hurley, Cleona Hagen, and lots of other people involved in that, including Linda herself. Tickets available from Eventbrite or at the Pro Cathedral office, which, if you're looking for somewhere to go tonight, that's a nice thing to do. There's a Cinderella pantomime in Longford. They just sent me starring Mary Byrne as Fairy Godmother. And that's at longfordstraditionalpanto@gmail.com for that. Just a quick few ones. And don't forget the Goal Mile, which is run all around the country too on Christmas Day. If you can get involved with that, my old pals there were asking me to mention that, which I'm happy to do. All the goalies do some great stuff around the world, as you well know. So hopefully they can do that for them. If you can get involved in the Goal Mile, that would be really, really nice. Text number 51551. Saw that documentary. Excellent and very moving, says a Kerry listener. The funeral director, yep. Totally agree with you on St. Stephen's Day. Can't write the other words. I know it's ingrained, isn't it? On the Boxing Day thing, that's how Merry Christmas from an Irish mouth makes me feel. I don't have any issue with Merry Christmas at all, but Boxing Day is comes from birth. Like, that's in the DNA. Watch The Undertaker. Sorry, it's called The Funeral Director, isn't it? I called it The Undertaker by accident. I watched The Funeral Director and I taped it. I will watch it again sometime. I thought it was wonderful insight into that world and took the mystery out of it. And David McGowan seems a sincere and kind man, says Mo in Whitehall. I agree with you on all of that. Missed your intro to the programme you saw on funerals, says Anne. Could you give us the name of it and whether it's on the player? Thanks, happy Christmas and belated and blessed Christmas to you and yours. Thanks, Anne. It's called The Funeral Director and it sure is on the player, or some class of playback system will do. Will help you there. In other bits and pieces, I think I'll just keep going to... I heard the most immature thing musically yesterday that I've heard for a long time, and it is... really, it's just so juvenile, I had to share it with you. So, you know the Paul McCartney song, Wonderful Christmas Time? And the opening lyric to that is, the moon is right. We discussed it thinking, is it the mood is right? No, it's the moon is right. We double checked, yes, the moon is right. And some immature guy, they're like a musical parody, it's a guy called Michael M, I think he's based in Glasgow. And what he's done is, he's taken some classic Christmas songs and replaced all the lyrics with the initial line, the opening line of the song. Does it work? Well, I'll give you a flavour of it just to see. And as I say, this is immature. This is for the people who haven't really grown up yet in the world. And you'll take the song The Moon Is Right and just repeat it over and over.
The moon is right. The moon is right. The moon is right. The moon is right. The moon is right, 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 oh, the moon is right. The moon is right, the moon is right.
Have you had enough yet? No, more.
The moon is right.
Okay, that's what I would have done in the back of the class in school when I was younger. Going, let's just get the same line and repeat it over and over and over again. The moon is right. I'll give you another one a little later on the programme. But let me take some more text before we get to our letters. Incidentally, the letters for our Unpost competition, is that drawing to a close tomorrow? Sadly, we could have... Today is the last of the letters and then we'll announce a winner tomorrow. Oh, what a pity, because we could keep going. But just worth saying that for every €19 Christmas stamp booklet... So this year, Unpost will make a donation to homeless charities, and I'm glad to mention that. My family always referred to St. Stephen's Day, says the text, as Boxing Day. We were all dubs, as were our parents and grandparents. I think it might be connected to our Protestant upbringing. I'd say it's very much connected to that. Right, I'm in my 50s. I don't know anyone here in Donegal who calls the day after Christmas anything but Boxing Day. Good Lord. Unless they're blow-ins from down south. It must have been the influence of growing up with having BBC and UTV channels. What a beautiful programme, says another about the funeral director. And Mr. McGowan was very respectful. Wakes in Ireland are very therapeutic, remembering our loved ones. Ones in home with long hours of reposing is so healing. You hear lovely unknown stories of your loved one's life. Sit, chat and have a cup of tea. Undertakers are great for helping, but the bereaved are still free to choose what suits their family. I think that's pretty nice, I think, the way of putting it. And lots more in on Boxing Day / Stephen's Day and, of course, the funeral director programme, which I've been talking about and well worth a look at. There's just nothing wrong with that. It's Ellen Satchmoan, Dream a Little Dream. Love that. 26 minutes past nine. Quick, this is an email that has nothing to do with the on-post competition, but I want to read it out because it just gives a little flavour of home and abroad. And it's from Emily, who says, I want to begin this email by saying thanks for encouraging me, a 35-year-old woman, to start reading again. Yes, if we do nothing else this year, we got one woman reading again. It's a good start. Anyway, I'd also like to thank all the staff that make the show what it is. Why would you do that? Sure, they just come in here and... I mean, what? You had me there at the beginning and then you lost me in the middle bit. Honest to goodness. It's an absolute joy. Like, a genuine connection I have to Ireland every morning when I listen on replay on the RTE app while getting ready for work in Queenstown, New Zealand. I love hearing these stories from around the world. It's great. I've lived in this beautiful part of the world for 13 years and all I want for Christmas is not to be here. That's not saying I'm not happy. This is home for me now, albeit unexpected. But that damn recession happened and I went away and I never came back. Anyway, I just want to say thanks again for the connection to home and happy Christmas. And maybe if it's not too strange, give your family an extra big hug this year for all of us that can't. It's a heartache that can't even be put into words. And it's also year round. Just emotions are higher this time of year. I'm much better at writing a letter. Emails don't show proper feelings, but I hope this will do. Of course it will. That's a sad email, but it's also just you're homesick and you're missing it. And I can't imagine. I know that my siblings all went away, lived away at different times. I never did because I'm a home bird. I couldn't. As my dad used to say, you'll get homesick in Greystones. And I'm a devil. Like, I can't. I just love where I am and where I love the island. And I can imagine how difficult it is. And I'm just delighted that we can offer you that little lifeline from here to there. And we're thinking of you this morning. Thank you for that. Thanks for reading out, says Jen, the wonderful letters. And also for playing Ellen Louis. Kind regards and happy Christmas. Thank you, Jen. Good morning. I think I'll be playing that version of Macca at home this Christmas. My partner would appreciate it. As he says things like, I waited ages for you. But instead he says, I waited ages and ages and ages and ages and ages. And ages. He's also infantile. I think he'll get this one. Thank you for all the laughs every week. You're the best. From Christine in Kenmare. Well, you need a bit of an infantile in your life, and that's you've obviously got it, so good. Enjoy it. Martina says, my parents spent years in England. They always call December 26th Boxing Day. I didn't realise the significance of this. It will be Stephen's Day from now on. Noted. Regards. Good on you. And thank you so much to Jane for writing her wonderful letter to all those great men and women buried in Glasnevin, says Gráinne. I'm a tour guide there, and it's a privilege to tell their stories. Jane and others like her make it the best job in the world. Wonderful.